Here we are, Steve and myself.
Hello.
We're doing our meet the fans, our meet the listeners. What are we calling this?
My wife is going to kill me, listener spotlight.
Hey, I like that. That sounds really good. So here we are with Jim Bagtaz. Jim, did I say your last name right?
You absolutely did. I know it's a tough one. For some reason, when you put an A and a Z together, it really fucks people up, but it is Bagtaz, just like it's spelled.
Nice. So, Jim, you've been pretty, I don't want to say active on our Facebook for a while, but you've been one of those guys, you comment, you like, seems like you've been with us for a while. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right, cool. So, yeah, I found you guys, and, I hate to say it, quote-unquote hate, but I found you guys through Justice Curry. It was actually the episode where Steve was at his house going through all his Motu stuff. I'm sorry, Masters of the Universe stuff.
Motu works. Motu works on this podcast.
Yes.
Pete, I know how much you love it. Is Steve with you guys?
No, Peter.
All right, so it's just the two good ones. All right, good. I saw that video, and I know Steve talked about the podcast, My Wife is Going to Kill Me. It sort of coincided with my growing appreciation for what I loved as a kid. I'm 40, how old am I? 42 right now. So I grew up kid of the 80s. Growing up, my love was G.I. Joe. So, and I didn't save any of my kid toys. I hit puberty and I, decided to go a different route and actually give my attention to women instead of little plastic things. So that's how that works, like with most of us.
Yeah.
So as the years went on, as nostalgia grew, I decided to dive back in and start buying up the vintage Joes, everything from 82 to 88, because that was like my wheelhouse. That is what I loved and appreciated as a kid. And that's what started me, searching through YouTube and social media and finding, obviously, like-minded individuals like yourselves to kind of, experience what I was going through in terms of being a grown-ass man playing with little toys. So that all kind of came together at the same time.
Yep. It's funny how I don't feel like any of us need justification or we need like that. There's other people like me out there, but it certainly is nice to connect with other people that have the same interests.
I agree totally. And it's interesting how you start to find these people, whether it be through social media or just conversations or wearing a shirt. Like right now, I got my G.I. Joe sweatshirt on, and there's been times where I'll be walking around, and it's a nice sweatshirt. It's like, I know you're one of me.
Yep.
Absolutely. That is so cool. I wouldn't say I needed justification back in the old days, but I definitely did think, well, there was more of a stigma back in the old days, though. I mean, there really was. When I started to get back into things and everything, I wasn't going to wear it on my sleeve like I do now, but, and I'm glad, and the community, I think, helps, and the podcasting helps, and meeting all these people that are like-minded, that helps. I don't care at all anymore. I mean, I'll tell somebody that, I don't bring it up if there's no reason to bring it up, but I definitely don't hide it at all.
Right.
Yeah, Steve, I agree with you totally, and I think either good or bad, it sort of helps the cause, I guess you could call it, when, the whatever you call it, nerd chic or geek fandom is quote-unquote popular now, so it starts to branch out, and you see people with, you'll see somebody with a pink Transformers hat, and you're like, what the fuck is that, but on the same token, that stuff allows other genuine people, I guess you want to call them, to sort of be able to do what we do in terms of collecting, in terms of the community, and like the things you guys do.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, for sure. Which makes it a lot of fun, and I can't, like, we talk about the pop stuff and all that. While it might not be my thing, I'm glad there's stuff like that out there for, you know, for Steve's daughters and you know, I mean, just people who are interested in this kind of stuff, but maybe they're not action figure people.
Right, right. I mean, I think you guys talked about it, the Funko Netflix movie that was a Making Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually, I mean, I'm not a pop guy, and I say that with a caveat. The only two pops I have are Bob Ross pops, but that's a whole different story. But in watching that movie, I'm like, you know what? They're not so bad. I would never collect them, but you see the people that collect, you see the people that it involved throughout the history of their company, you're like, holy shit, that really makes collecting, it kind of hits the nail on the head in terms of what us as collectors do it for, you know, what we believe in, what the purpose is of what we do.
For sure.
Without a doubt.
For sure.
And I know I'm getting long-winded in my answer, so I apologize.
No.
Dude, you know this podcast. That's all it is long-winded.
Fair enough.
All right, so what was your, I think you probably may have already said, G.I. Joe, but tell us, what is the stuff you were into toy-wise as a child?
Well, it's funny. The stuff I'm into now, in terms of collecting, is the exact reverse of what I experienced as a kid. So. Okay. My first recollection of playing with any toys would be He-Man. I remember coming home from school, I'd sit on the floor with the coffee table in front of me, I'd get my trap jaw and my Manny faces, and I'd sit and watch the Filmation show, and let me tell you, life could not get any better.
Yes.
I remember for Christmas getting Castle Grayskull and putting it together with my dad. It's one of my, you know, one of my most favorite memories just because of what it meant and, you know, a bonding experience with, you know, my parents and things like that. As I got older, Star Wars started to come out, and I loved the film, I loved the figures, but once G.I. Joe hit, and I don't know if it was the articulation or the accessories or just the kick-ass artwork, I fell in love. I can actually specifically remember the first stuff that I got as a gift. My dad had a softball game, and my mother rightly knew that I would be bored out of my friggin' mind, so she brought me to, oh my god, I think it might have been a Caldor store, you know, one of those stores that's not around anymore, and she got me Roadblock 84, right?
Okay.
And the Stinger Jeep, obviously, with the driver. And those are the first two G.I. Joe things I had. And nice. I remember that sort of lighting a spark. And I did everything I could to just get as much of that stuff as I possibly could. And my parents were totally cool with it. My mother specifically, because let's be real, I was an only child until I was 10, so I got what I wanted. And I was lucky enough, I had the Defiant, I had the Flag.
Whoa! Wow.
I had everything. And if God, you know, if I had what I have, you know, if I had now what I had then, I'd be talking to you from a much nicer phone, let me tell you. but it's funny, you know, funny off story. The USS Flag was so big, obviously you guys know 7.5 feet, that in the house I lived in, I couldn't even have it in my bedroom. I had to stand it up on its side in my sister's room. And I don't know how the thing didn't fall apart every time I used it, but that was, you know, my sister was not too pleased that she had a toy aircraft carrier in her bedroom, but that was what we did, and that's how lucky I was.
Wow. I think you are the first person I've ever met in my whole entire life that said they had the Flag as a child.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Say it again, Steve.
I think you're the first person I've met or talked to that ever in my whole life that has said they had the Flag as a child.
You know what? At the time, it was, I mean, again, I can remember Christmas Day, you know, walking down the hallway, and they didn't wrap the thing because the thing was just in its all glory with that artwork. And walking over to it and literally crying.
I bet.
Because, I mean, well, that was the same thing. It was like, it was a thing of folklore. You know, you heard somebody may have had it and they were just bullshitting. Or somebody saw, you know, their cousin has it, but they don't really know for a fact. And I was one of those lucky kids who had it. And I, even to this day, I tell my parents, I go, you guys are amazing. You know, when the Toys That Made Us came out, that G.I. Joe episode, I, you know, I got my phone out and I filmed that little clip where the guys talked about it, and I texted it to my parents. I go, you guys are the fucking balls. Like, that just really meant a lot to me.
Oh, nice.
So now, now as an adult, how does it translate now?
Well, right now, I was able to get everything from 82 to 88, all loose. I'm not a carded guy.
Okay.
I'm an opener. And again, it's just that tangible feel, you know, the swivel arm and the putting the backpack on and just hitting the gun so right so it doesn't look stupid if it's off in an angle to not break the thumb and all that stuff. And I'm super OCD, so right now they're not on display. I don't exactly have a toy room man case thing yet, but I am, for lack of better terms, mentally stockpiling for when I do.
Nice.
So they're all bags, they're all checklisted. I only have a couple of accessories from a couple of figures to really be quote unquote complete, but I have all of them. I have all the file cards. I do have one carded figure that I'm not going to open. It's the Listen and Speak or Listen and Play Tripwire. Ons one.
Yeah.
And I debated back and forth because, yeah, I thought, well, why would I just keep this one on card when all my other ones are loose? But the thing is so unique. There's no way I'm opening that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in my mind, that'll be, you know, in a nice case propped up, and that'll be one of those awesome conversation pieces I'm, you know, 900 years old.
I'm an opener, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. Leave that thing in the package because that's a cool piece because of its uniqueness, but it's a ridiculous color, and the regular tripwire is actually, I think, cooler. But the rareness and everything of that's awesome.
And the cool thing is I have the tape separate, loose, so if I want to listen to that amazingly awful but awesome soundtrack and storyline, I can still listen to it. So
perfect.
Are you collecting anything modern?
You know what? Interestingly enough, I do collect Motu as well, by the way, but that's a secondary thing. That's, like I said, it's in reverse. I'm getting everything from 82 to 85 because that's what I grew up with. But the only thing I collect modern now is, like I said, twofold. One, the Renegades, the G.I. Joe Renegades from 2011.
Yep.
Now, me being modern, meaning that's obviously they're still, you know, not coming out because obviously Hasbro has head up their ass and for some reason not making a 6-inch figure, but whatever. The special story with that is I was going through a divorce and I was living on my couch and for the TV show that was on the Hub, the Renegade show, was on, and it's similar to when I was a kid and, you know, the parents would fight, you'd seek solace in your toys. I was going through some shitty stuff and that show was on. And for some reason, the friggin' stars aligned, and that brought me back to, it sounds kind of whatever, but to a happy place, you know? And what I've been doing slowly is kind of pulling the figures that were right from that line, and that would be sort of a subset, and really the only quote-unquote modern stuff that I have. And the second thing, too, is I got on this Harley Quinn kick, so I'm kind of picking stuff up as I see it.
Nice.
Not the Suicide Squad, because that sucks balls, but the more of the Joker-esque, you know, earlier red and black and white character style.
Yeah.
What drew you to the Harley Quinn stuff?
Believe it or not, it reminds me of my wife. She doesn't murder people, as far as I know. but you know how Harley Quinn has that undying love for the Joker, no matter what his flaws are. Obviously, a maniacal murderer, but you know. He's cool in his way. And, you know, it's one of those things where she has an undying love for him despite all his faults, and that, in a strange way, reminds me of my wife and dealing with all my bullshit. And that sort of has not a nostalgic sentimentality for me, but sort of what I'm going on in the present. So.
Cool. I like it.
I feel like Pete ending all my sentences with so. Sorry.
I didn't even notice. But when Pete does it, it's nails on a chalkboard. All right, so if you had to get rid of everything but one line, what would it be?
Everything but one line. Yeah. It would have to be, I would keep G.I. Joe.
The vintage stuff?
Yeah. just the vintage stuff, just because it, like I said, I can look at every figure from Straight Arm Hawk to, Jesus, you know, Annihilator and everything in between, and each one of those figures, even the stupid ones like Armadillo, I mean, come on. Or the stupid names like friggin' Skidmark. I mean, seriously?
Skidmark.
The name is the character Skidmark.
Yep.
I mean, I don't collect the you know, from 89 up, but at some point, no one in Hasbro said, you know, maybe not Ice Cream Soldier for a name, maybe something else, but fuck it, make him yellow, who cares? But yeah, I would keep G.I. Joe, and everything else would have to go by the wayside just because of that's the strong nostalgia for me.
Gotcha. That's a heck of a line to keep. That's like, you know, your wife said you had to get rid of everything, you'd be like, I'm keeping my Joes. Well, that's probably 90% of the space in the collection anyways, because there's so much of it.
Right. And, you know, I only do the figures with one exception. The only vehicle I rebought is the Stinger Jeep.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. And my plan is I'll have them all, you know, in the spot. It'll be a special corner, top glass shelf or whatever. It'll be that Roadblock and that Stinger Jeep and driver. And that'll be, again, a callback to that's when it all started.
Gotcha. Perfect.
Nice.
So do you...
And the idea is that, you know, my tour room will look somewhat organized like Steve's. I know, Trav, you're working through yours right now. But if my man cave slash tour room ever looks like Justice's, I will have to just drive off a bridge. Because as much as that is amazing and like, holy shit, you got all that stuff in that small amount of time, that looks like Toys R Us just had diarrhea everywhere.
Yeah. You know what's funny is as much as I don't like how his stuff is displayed, when you're actually in that room, it's pretty cool.
There's some very cool aspects.
Don't get me wrong. If he said, hey, Jim, fly up to Michigan, I'll give you a tour. Yeah. I'd be on that plane because I would just sit in there for days looking at all the little things he's got in the nook and crannies.
Yeah.
I just can't see that for myself, and I know my wife would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
I know every time I'm in Justin's room, I'll be like, oh, that's new, and he'll be like, no, I've had that forever because I just didn't see it the last time.
Right, yeah, exactly. I can totally picture that.
Yeah. But yeah, for sure. So is this something you wear on your sleeve, toy collecting, or is this something you kind of keep on the down low? Are you out of the closet? What's the status here?
I am out of the closet to some degree. So I guess 1 foot in, 1 foot out. My close friends and family know, but I'm not necessarily advertising it, and it's not for any sort of like, I don't want them to think that I'm not, you know, cool. I just don't have any patience to put any effort out. If, you know, people want to get to know me, you know, my desk at work, you know, had probably 50 to 60 toys all over the place. So I guess in that sense, I was out of the closet. But, you know, I wear the gear. I have, you know, stickers and magnets. And it's one of those things where, but like I said before, if you didn't know any better, you'd think I just went to Kohl's and bought a G.I. Joe shirt, and I don't have any glove for it, you know?
Right.
So I guess, to answer your question in a long-ass winded way, I guess I'm pretty much out of the closet. Yeah.
Perfect.
Jim, since you've been with us for a while now, you know, you've gotten to, I mean, I imagine you feel like you know us. Do you, who do you really relate with on the show?
Who do I relate with on the show? Well, you know what? I kind of feel like it could be elements of all three of you, and that is a total cop-out answer, but I'll tell you why.
I like it.
So, I'm not as big as Pete, but I feel like his sense of humor is right on par with mine. Now, I don't talk about the nutsack of 12-year-old boys, but... but I feel like his sarcasm is right on point with mine.
Yeah.
So I get that. With Trav, I like your digs, man. You know, and they're sort of, you know, you kind of just throw the grenade and take a step back, and then Steve and Pete go at it for like 5 hours. which I totally love and I totally appreciate it. And I you're almost, you know, it's funny, I'm almost a little bit jealous and I kind of live vicariously through you. I don't buy modern stuff to flip. I did it once and I probably made a dollar. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? So, obviously, you have amassed quite the inventory and you go to shows. And in some weird way, this seems like there's a toy show in Michigan every frigging day. I'm up by Boston and we get one maybe every couple months, maybe. So I don't know if I'm just not dialed into the local scene, but every time I listen to you guys, it's like, yeah, I'm going to so-and-so con and so-and-so con, and that's, you know, I'm like, what? Where am I? Okay, so anyway, so back to that. So I like when draft throws the hand grenades, but Steve, I feel like I might relate to most often because he, you know what, he's got Motu at his heart, and that's my other wheelhouse, too. You guys know I listen to his other podcast, not to be mentioned. and I do like how Steve will say something, or I should say you'll say something, and it makes perfect sense, and then Trav and Pete just jump down your throat and tear you to pieces. And you're like, what? And I feel like that I encounter that on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And usually, just like Steve, most of my conversations go, they just end with, fuck you.
Yep. There's no sense trying to convince people who are retarded.
Well said.
Well, thanks for being on with us, Jim. It was great having you.
Yes, it was. Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much. This was a blast. I appreciate it.
Yep.
We appreciate too. We appreciate you listening and being a vocal and loyal and interactive fan. So thank you for that. And yeah, good luck to you and enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, thank you, sir. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Have a good one.
All right, bye-bye.